Anyway,
good morning, everybody, formally. I am so excited to be starting this skill series. This is something I've been putting together for quite some time. The requests of many of our acres who, you know, it's great to learn the concept and the theory and put together some of your fee ideas and hourly, but what really is the whole point of hopefully integrating consulting into your business is to be able to use it to grow your business and to get more business. So this skill series is hopefully the beginning of that. And this first one is on consulting with for sale by owners and other do-it-yourselfers, because as you're going to see in my presentation, I am going to be talking just in general about, you know, from the vantage point of, you know, any kind of do-it-yourselfers, which we're going to be seeing more and more. I know when I got into real estate, God, back in the, you know, prehistoric days, you know, those do-it-yourselfers, Bizbos, were somebody we scorned and could say, ha, 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 wait till they learn that they really can't do anything. This is changing with technology, and if you guys haven't already seen it, I'm sure you will, that there are more and more so-called do-it-yourselfers, not only FISBOs, but I guess, how would you say, FIBOs, for buy-by owners, buyers who are using technology to do a lot of their own legwork. And really, if we as an industry do not develop some new tools, we're going to be losing big swaths of this business. And that would be a shame not only for our businesses, but also for the consumers out there. Because one of the things that we stress in the ACRE program is that, you know, these consumers badly need the fiduciary services that we realtors provide. And if we don't find a way to show some flexibility in how we can provide our services, we're going to be losing a lot of them. So welcome, everybody, and welcome, Jennifer. Thank you so much for being my first guest host.
You're very welcome.
I'm excited to have everybody here. There are two groups on this first webinar. There are our ACRES, and welcome all of you ACRES, which hopefully you can start to use the tools you've developed and take this webinar to be a kind of a starting point to getting out there and using it. There are also a big group of you on who are not ACRES, at least not yet. And many of them are Jennifer's peeps. In fact, most of them are her peeps. Mm-hmm. And I want to welcome all of you and glad you took the opportunity. Hopefully you will look at this presentation as kind of like a window onto what consulting is all about and how it can be used. And obviously you don't have the tools to be able to really go for it, but hopefully it'll be an introduction to it, and we're hoping is that you go ahead and sign up for ACRE. I do want to mention to all of you who are not ACRES yet and kind of considering the program that I need to give a disclosure, and it's something that I should do and that is that ACRE consulting, like anything else in this world, is not a silver bullet. I know we in our industry, and I'm as guilty as anybody through the years of, you know, we hear about this great new coaching program and or this great new package of, you know, super duper books, and we spend thousands of dollars on them, you know, and they promise you the world. And what I've learned, and Jennifer, you can certainly, I'm sure, add to this, without you putting the effort into them, they're a waste of money. Of putting yourself into them. Nothing worthwhile doesn't take a little work on your part. And consulting is no different. And as our ACRES can attest to, you know, you have to develop your own fees and your own hourly rates, and then you have to tweak and tweak and tweak to make it work. So, you know, as much as we want to invite everybody to become ACRES and, you know, take the course, know this going in, is that in order to be successful with consulting like anything else, you're going to have to put, you know, a little bit of time, and it's going to stretch your comfort zone, and you're going to have to think out of the box, but that's what this is all about. Just so everybody knows, The format for today is that I'm going to first do a presentation, and hopefully you're seeing the opening screen, which says the Acre Skill Training Series, Consulting with For Sale by Owners. This presentation I will be doing, it will be available in a video format later on today for Acres. It will be posted on the Exchange, so all of you who are Acres can access it, so don't feel like you have to take notes, or, you know, because you can watch it as many times as you want. Once this presentation, and this presentation is really about, you know, what I've done in my practice in consulting and what I found that works. Once I finish up, I'm going to be turning the floor over to Jennifer, who's going to be adding her soulful take on, you know, working with the do-it-yourselfer. And then we'll be opening it up to questions. Because this is a large group, the best way to communicate is through the question thing, Jennifer? Or is
yeah, that's actually working really well. So
okay. So, you know, post your questions. Jennifer's going to be monitoring it, except when she's talking, and then I'll be monitoring it. And if it's a question for Jennifer, I'll send it over to her. And that way, and hopefully we can get, you know, lots of good questions in there, and this is your time to explore. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be a really good hour, and I'm really looking forward to it. So let's get started. For Sale by Owners, they represent one of the most lucrative opportunities for Acres to apply their consulting skills to gain new business. Now, but before we're going to dive into how to capture all of this business with your consulting skills, it's important to establish a very important point, and that is this. The only party, and again, I'm going to state things as fact. Remember, they're my opinion, but they're my opinion, so I'll state them as fact, that the only party who can truly sell a home is the party that holds the title, and that is the seller. I know that it's common for us agents to say, I sold this home, or ask, how many homes did you sell last year? But truthfully, if you think about it, agents don't sell homes. Rather, agents provide expert services, manage the transaction, and most importantly, offer vital counsel, representation, and advocacy. So if you accept that premise, any owner who wants to sell their house is a for sale by owner. It's just a matter of how much professional help they want and need. The terms for sale by owner, or FSBO, came about historically because of the all or nothing structure that we've had in real estate. Traditionally, if you were a homeowner wishing to sell your house, you either hired an agent for a full package of stuff, even if you didn't need some of that stuff, or you went it totally alone. Now, while all this all or nothing structure that we've had didn't always serve the owner very well, from the standpoint of the real estate industry, it sort of worked, at least for the industry, because pre-internet, the seller really had no other option. Pre-internet, the MLS ruled. Since our sole value proposition, at least in the seller's mind, was that of an information provider, in other words, the key to the MLS. If the seller wanted their home exposed to buyers, they had to hire a realtor. Now, let's fast forward to today. The emergence of the internet has brought about a vast array of new options for the seller. Most notably, third-party companies offering the home seller an array of mostly what I call functionary-type services at bargain basement prices. But sadly for the seller, it's often a trap because it has no accountability, professional standard, fiduciary representation, or advocacy. But neither the traditional real estate industry nor these third-party companies, I think, are telling today's home seller the whole story. On one side, the real estate industry is telling the seller that in order to get guidance, counsel, and representation, they have to buy a whole package of services and they have to pay by contingent commission. On the other side, this myriad of third-party companies and sometimes licensed agents feeding off the do-it-yourselfer, they're not telling the whole story either. That simply throwing the seller on the MLS without proper market or pricing counsel isn't likely going to get their home sold, and certainly not for the best price. They also won't tell the seller that although today's technology can perform these functionary or administrative type tasks better, faster, and cheaper than any human being, what technology can never provide is the fiduciary counsel, advocacy, and day-to-day market knowledge. And that makes all the difference in the seller's bottom line. Most home sellers today want straight answers, plain and simple. Honest value for their real estate dollar, and an opportunity to have quality choices in the services they can receive, as well as how those services can be paid for, rather than gimmicks and sales pitches. Home sellers who are thinking about going it alone without professional help are most often not doing so because they want to play realtor. They're usually doing so because they don't know that they had a choice. Now, as an acher, you have the tools to provide what they're looking for and a whole lot more with virtually no competition. Not only do traditional agents not have the tools to provide real choices, but our industry continues to provide scripts for agents to use with FSBOs that are cheesy and insult their intelligence. They recommend using gimmicks, such as telling them that they have a buyer for their home, even if they don't, or bringing them stuff every week until they realize how stupid they are and hire you. But sellers today are not stupid. Excuse me. Sometimes they simply don't want all the bells and whistles, or they need help that doesn't lend itself to the one-size-doesn't-fit-all package that better fit the needs of consumers 40, 50, or 60 years ago than what they need given the technology of today. Because in reality, with the growth of sites such as eBay or Craigslist, increasing numbers of sellers are finding their own buyers, hold on to your seats, without the help of an agent. But when they need assistance in negotiating an offer or managing and troubleshooting the transaction, they're turning to lawyers or they're going it alone. Some have little equity in their homes and they just can't afford to pay for professional help that, instead of being based on the value of the services, is based on the price of a property. And sometimes, and this, you know, I find all the time, sellers are what I call accidental FSBOs. They might mention to someone at work that they're thinking about selling their house, and their coworker responds that their sister would love to move to their neighborhood. All of a sudden, they have a buyer. But in the traditional real estate structure, there's no way for them to get help. Not providing help with these various needs doesn't eliminate them. It simply drives these consumers elsewhere, or they're going it alone, leaving themselves without representation, expertise, and advocacy. You know, our industry, and I've said this over and over and it drives me crazy, our industry has forfeited a fortune over the years because we haven't had a structure to provide services for those folks who don't fit the mold. So hopefully, if you haven't worked with FSBOs before, or the thought has left you horrified, you now see the tremendous advantage you have using the consulting skills and tools that you've developed and have at your disposal. So now that we have that out of the way, how do we get some business from FSBOs? All right, don't freak out. I am not going to suggest you do anything that's going to make you feel icky. The consulting model is built on professionalism, not pushy, obnoxious sales tactics. So the easiest way to prospect for FSBOs and would-be FSBOs is really pretty simple. It's through what I call proactive word of mouth through your sphere of influence. And it doesn't cost you a dime or a penny. There are two ways to do this, with an appointment or without one. Let's first look at without an appointment. Your status as an acher gives you a perfect excuse to call or email through your sphere. Use this contact as a catch-up time. You might call and just say, just wanted to see how you're doing, how is the house, etc. By asking friendly, catching up types of questions, you'll learn a lot about where their lives are at and uncover a ton of opportunities to use your consulting skills. Perhaps they're considering a remodel. You can help them. Or a refinance. You can help them. Maybe they have real estate questions and they don't know what to do. As a consultant, you can help them. And even if they're happy as clams in their home after chatting a while about their lives, they'll often turn around and ask you how your business is. This is your opportunity to tell them about becoming an acre and the tools you now have as a trained consultant. And when the call is over, you can be sure that what you offer is so different and unique that they'll tell someone, and they'll tell someone, and they'll tell someone, and so on. Now, let's say that you do have a listing or a buyer appointment. Make sure that you start the appointment off by telling them that you're now an acre. One of the most important keys to your success, and I cannot stress this enough, is that every appointment should entail talking about the choices you offer as a trained consultant. So many acres regard their tools as something they keep hidden, only to pull out if they feel like they need them. This is a huge mistake. Let me state that again. Huge mistake. Even if you're 100% sure that they're going to want a full package paid by commission, discussing the choices you now offer pays three big dividends. Number one, as I said before, it will make you stand out. Consulting gives you the ultimate unique selling proposition. Even if they end up going the traditional route, they'll be very impressed that you offer choices, and they will tell others. Number two, you won't be commissionectomy'd. Because when you discuss the opportunity to pay for the services or time itself, you also have the opportunity to discuss why commissions can be costly. You can discuss the risk mitigation that commission pays for. In this way, if they stay with commissions, they won't be looking for a discount because they'll understand why commissions are costly. And number three, again, word of mouth. Even though they might be going with the traditional commission, with the for sale sign in their yard, you can bet that they'll be talking with neighbors and friends about real estate, and they will definitely tell them about the unique choices you offer, even if they didn't go for any non-traditional ones. The reason that working your sphere is the best way to prospect for FSBOs is the same reason that it's the best way to prospect for any business, and I'm sure Jennifer will chime in about this. Because by talking to your sphere, you have the opportunity to connect with people when they're still in the thinking stage, before they've made any concrete decisions. Believe me, consulting is still so unique that what you offer will result in lots of business that you never would have had. By working your sphere and keeping your eyes out just in the course of your regular business, you'll start uncovering FSBOs and many would-be FSBOs. Now, what can you offer them? Well, you don't have to guess. Those of you who are acres will know about the needs analysis. And you can start out, if you're working with a for sale by owner, with the seller needs analysis. This will not only give you the answers you need, but you will be to them a breath of fresh air. Because instead of giving them this one-size-fits-all package, you're starting off by asking about what their needs are. As for other ideas, all you have to do is think out of the box. But here are some. Many homeowners who want to sell think that with the explosion of online sites that they could perhaps use them to find their own buyer. This is my advice to you. Do not poo-poo their efforts like your competition does. Instead, encourage them, but with you shepherding them throughout the process and able to step in whenever needs arise. At the beginning, perhaps they'll just need an hour or two of counsel in how to get their home prepared for sale. Maybe they need help in writing and placing ads, both online and off. Perhaps they'd like you to host an open house for them. All of these tasks can be done for a flat fee or by the hour and help to begin building a relationship of trust. Keep in mind that whatever fees you're paid, you can always offer to credit them all or some of them if they decide down the line to go the traditional route. This will ensure that you'll be the one they turn to. Although, if you're providing quality services and counsel throughout the process, this should happen anyway. Just be sure to let them know that one of the choices you offer is the traditional one, and if they decide to go that route, you can accommodate them. What if they want MLS? You can also help them with that too, but with a difference that will only enhance your value. Instead of MLS entry only that has them paying a licensee big bucks for 20 minutes of typing and nothing more, you can offer them a package that bundles MLS exposure with the most important services they can get from an agent, pricing help, negotiation of any offers, and the troubleshooting of the transaction from contract to close. the important thing to communicate to homeowners who want to sell their home is that it's no longer all or nothing. Rather, you can be a true partner, providing the quality services and expertise that they need, while you can stop putting in unpaid hours of work and finally get paid what you're worth. So that's kind of my take on stuff. Awesome. So I am going to turn the floor over to Jennifer and kind of get your take, and then we'll be starting some questions.
Cool. That was awesome, Molly. Thanks. In fact, as you were talking, I'm pacing and think I just thought of all different things we could do, some fun things you and I could do together to sort of combine the acre and the sphere of influence, and even, yeah, so my mind's spinning right now, so hopefully I'll be coherent. Anyway, Molly brought me on this show today with the full knowledge and of what I'm getting ready to tell you, which is my typical disclosure when we talk about for sale by owners and expired listings, which we're not talking about that today, but it's related anyway, is that when I was a real estate agent for 12 years, I never pursued for sale by owners. I did list some, but they weren't a target audience for me. The ones that I listed came to me from other sources. You know, here I am telling you all, you know, what I think about, including for sale by owners in your target audience, but I do want you to know that it's not something I ever intentionally did. However, so why the heck am I on the show? Well, I think I have a reasonably good level of common sense, and I think that I have a pretty good understanding of human nature and a very well-tuned, monitor for the ick factor. So when I've really thought about the whole for sale by owner prospecting experience, you can decide for yourself. And what I have to say today resonates with you or makes sense to you, but I did want to get that disclosure in that it is not something that I ever intentionally did, so bear with me here. But whenever I do talk about the for sale by owner seller, and I will ask the agents that I'm speaking with, either live or on a teleseminar, webinar chat, or whatever, and I'll say, you know, how many of you are interested in adding for sale by owners to your target prospect? And I can't think of any time that more than 50%, that more than half said, yes, I'm very interested in pursuing for sale by owners. In fact, I would say it's probably been less than 30% of the audience who says, absolutely, yes, I want to pursue for sale by owners. When I ask them, okay, why? Why is there not more enthusiasm? Why are you hesitant to pursue for sale by owners? The answer comes back, if I asked you all that right now, you'd probably come back with some similar answers in that, one, I don't want to be rejected. I've heard that for sale by owners are very rude, and I don't want to be putting myself out there for someone to be rude to me all day long. Thank you. Thank you. No,
let me interrupt for just a minute. I wouldn't mind to see some of you either in the chat window or in the question window kind of talk about, you know, add your thoughts as we're talking about why you may be kind of intimidated by for sale by owners or, you know, do-it-yourself buyers or whatever. So I just want to throw that in.
No, that'd be great. I wish I'd thought of it earlier. I should have thrown that out there. But so we have the first answer is I don't want to be rejected all day long. Thanks, but no thanks. I have better things to do with my time. The second response as to why somebody would not be interested in for sale by owners is because they do not want to be lumped in with all of the other real estate agents who are out there being cheesy and unprofessional and pushy, and they don't want to be, they don't want to be lumped in with them. And I hear you on both of those. And I tell you, those are probably the reasons I never pursued for sale by owners was because, one, I wasn't interested in being rejected a lot, and two, I didn't want to be lumped in with the cheesy unprofessionals out there pursuing for sale by owner business. If you were to go online and search for sale by owner strategies, agent strategies, listing strategies, I think the vast majority of what you'd find there would be the intelligence insulting, the patronizing, the cheesy, the pushy, the aggressive techniques that anyone with two brain cells to bang together would be able to see through. But that's what's out there. That's what's being promoted as good approaches to going after for sale by owner business. But let me get back to the original question is, you know, are you interested in for sale by owner business? Well, most of my audience typically says, no, I'm not. But if I rephrase that to say, if for sale by owners were calling you, let's say, and asking you to come list their house, you wouldn't turn down their business, right? I mean, what I'm saying is, it's not that you don't want for sale by owner business. It's that you're not willing to do what it takes to pursue it, to go get it. So if we're in agreement on that point that for the most part you would like for sale by owner business, of course some sellers you would be interested in working with and some you wouldn't, but in general you would like to have those listings, then if we could show you a way to more comfortably go after them, and unfortunately I'm not going to give you a silver bullet that makes your phone ring with for sale by owners calling you, but sorry if I didn't mean to tease you that I was going to give you one of them, but if you could, you know, create or develop an approach that made you very comfortable calling up a for sale by owner and offering your services, you'd take it, right? I mean, that would be of interest to you. I mean, think of other people that you call, that you pick up the phone and you call and you ask something of them that you're comfortable with. What if you could get that level of comfort with a for sale by owner? You would have an unlimited supply of seller clients. I mean, as many people as you can call, and if you could, you know, interest them in your services, then you would have a steady stream of business. So anyway, where I'm going with this, again, is not that I'm going to give you a silver bullet, but my approach, if I were going to pursue for sale by owners today, would be to first ask myself, Jennifer, if I were a for sale by owner, what would work on me? What would inspire me to invite this real estate agent over to look at my house, to not have my defensive wall up against their pitch or their approach? What would work on me? And I can answer that question pretty easily, but I'd like for, you know, everyone here to ask yourself that question. If you were a for sale by owner for whatever reason, what could a real estate agent do or say, or how could they treat you that would inspire you to want to learn more about them, to possibly honor them with the opportunity to list your home? Several years ago, I had a house of my own on the market. I had it listed myself because I was an agent at the time. And for I decided to take it off the market. I withdrew it, and so it showed up in the Denver MLS as either expired or withdrawn. I don't remember. Well, of course, I got lots and lots of phone calls, and most of them were laughable. I mean, they were just, I mean, I wasn't a for sale by owner, but, you know, it's related. Anyway, I mean, it was clear that most of the people who called were not really prepared for me to answer the phone. They weren't prepared for me to have an intelligent conversation with me. They just wanted an appointment so they could come over and give me their pitch. Well, one gal, out of all the people who called me, one gal showed a sincere interest in my situation. She was curious as to why the house hadn't sold, and then when I explained it, you know, that why I withdrew it, we chatted about the neighborhood, about the real estate market. We had a very nice, friendly, non-pushy, non-adversarial conversation. And I tell you what, if I didn't for a second consider hiring her to sell my house, I mean, she was warm and friendly and sincere and very real, and that shouldn't be so revolutionary or I mean, it should be obvious that if you are contacting people to inspire them to want to hire you, that you would be warm and friendly and real. But unfortunately, the real estate industry encourages us to do all of this other nonsense. So let me get back on point. Is that if you approach a for sale by owner, however you do that, if it's on the phone, if it's walking by their house when they're having a garage sale, if you approach them, get rid of all the nonsense that you've been taught about, as Molly mentioned, you know, intelligence insulting scripts, and dialogue and lying to them and intimidating them and trying to scare them to death by telling them they really don't want strangers coming through their house, do they? You know, I mean, you've got little children. I mean, these tactics are insulting, patronizing, and cheesy. Get all that out of your head. You are a real estate agent. You're a professional real estate agent who knows how to sell houses. And when and if a for sale by owner wants or needs your assistance, you can be there and you can help. Okay, if your goal is to truly help people sell their homes as opposed to simply getting their signature on a listing agreement so you can put your sign in their yard, if your goal is to truly help people sell their homes, you're going to go at these for sale by owners with a completely different attitude, a completely different approach, and they're going to feel that. Now, will you run across people who are a little hostile? Probably, but unless they're just unpleasant people in general, which there are some of them out there, but most for sale by owners are decent, nice people who simply want to sell their home and they don't see the value a realtor brings to the table. Or as Molly described, they don't want to pay the full package because they don't want to pay for the full package because they don't need the full package. But in general, a for sale by owner is not somebody who is adamantly opposed to paying a realtor fee. They're just adamantly opposed to not getting value for their dollar. Okay,
that is so important, and I just, you know, I can't underline that enough. When you said, Jennifer, that that one gal was the only one of all of these people that instead of giving you a canned pitch, was actually asking you and seemed sincerely interested in what happened with you. What is your situation? You know, why did your house not sell? You know, it shouldn't be revolutionary. Unfortunately, in our industry, it is.
Right. You know, and I tell you, it's almost a benefit to those of us who are looking for a different approach, because so few agents out there are looking for a different approach. They are being brainwashed by the big franchises. I'm not going to name names, but there are big franchises out there who are teaching their agents to insult their prospects as a method of getting their business. So, you know, you go in there with a sincere heart, a sincere desire and ability to help, you will be a breath of fresh air and you will stand out, and maybe 10 years from now, someone will be telling the story about you, how you contacted them and you were the only one of 20 who actually cared about why their house hadn't sold, why they were selling, why they were going for sale by owner. So,
and this kind of ties into, Jennifer, for acres and hopefully would-be acres, is the tool that we have available, the needs analysis, is just such an important tool, and it gives you kind of a direction. And, you know, this doesn't take the place of a sincere conversation, sincere questions, but to be able to follow up and say, you know, I have a needs analysis I'd like to email to you. And it will allow them, and again, and I'm going to just quickly segue into saying, for those of you who are on the call who are not yet acres and don't know what I'm talking about, the needs analysis, we have one for sellers and one for buyers, and it's basically a one-page where, let's take the seller side, where you've listed every possible thing that you would do on a listing, and then you have four columns. One says, I have the ability, and remember, this is the consumer talking. I have the ability and the desire to perform this task. The second column is, I'd really like to have a real estate professional to handle this. Third column is, I don't care if this was ever done. And the fourth column is, I need some more information. And by emailing this, it is so powerful because they, in the privacy of their home or office, can quickly look down, and it does a couple of things. Number one, it, for the first time, opens their eyes. Oh, my God, I had no idea that that had to be done. Oh, my God, I didn't think about that. Oh, my. It, number one, it opens their eyes to all we do. But more importantly, because it's in the privacy of their home or the office, even though they know they're going to be sharing it with you, for the first time, they can honestly sit there and say, take this task. Is this something that I have the capability to do? Is this something I even want to do? And it really brings back to you, when they send it back to you and you have your next conversation, a very different consumer. Because they now have, number one, a lot of respect for all the stuff that we do. But more importantly, you put the power in their hands to say, now, remember, you will have consumers, and those of you who are acres know this, that will say that they have the capability of doing things that you know there's no frickin' way they have any idea how to do that. And you have, and the whole business with choices is that you have the choice to say, you know what, I'm not comfortable representing you and having you do that. That's something that I would want to do as a part of a package that we designed for you. So that was just a little segue, but it really, that needs analysis falls into the more important concept that you've been talking about, Jennifer, which is how to come across in that first conversation, which will set you apart. And this has, you know, nothing to do with the consulting tools, although that obviously will give you a lot more latitude to go with. But to to simply say, what's going on with you? What mm-hmm. happened?
I think that's a brilliant, and I wanted to tie those in together, and you did it for me, so that's great. But that, you know, why do real estate agents go after for sale by owners saying, I have a buyer for your house, or, you know, I'm a specialist in this neighborhood, therefore I want to come see your house, whether they are or whether they aren't? Well, they need an opening line. They need something. And right. I get that. I mean, you know, maybe it's cheesy, maybe it's not, but yeah, they need something to lead with instead of, hi, I'm a real estate agent, I want to list your house, you know. And so if you can take the attitude of, I'm here to help, I'd like to help, let's get together and see if I'm the right man or woman for the job, combined with the ACRE tools, I would think that you could run a business, I mean, solely on, I'm the last person in the world to say you could run a business on for sale by owners, because mine was all sphere of influence, and I think that's the most fun. But my gosh, once you've had a few successes with this, can you imagine the confidence you would feel? The fifth,
and,
sixth, seventh, eighth,
and
time,
with
eighth
the
ACRE time.
Tools, you mm-hmm. have, you virtually have the market to yourself. Because mm-hmm. as I said at the beginning of my presentation, and there was no reason that I wanted to say that if you accept this premise that anybody who holds title to their home and wants to sell it is a for sale by owner. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to sell their home is a for sale by owner. It's just a matter of how much help they want and need. And when you look at it that way and you're able to communicate that feeling, then all of a sudden you don't have the barriers of, well, you're either doing it yourself or you're going to go with a professional. It's mm-hmm. what are you trying to accomplish and how can I help you?
Well, and it's sort of, having the ACRE tools, and I don't like to use this word because it's a negative word, but it is in a way its own gimmick in that you have something to lead with. You have something special to offer. And that your competition doesn't. They're calling them saying, I have a buyer. And you're calling saying, I have a needs analysis. Let's get together and see if I can help if you're interested. And
you need a little help or a lot of help. And sometimes, by the way, and we all know this, people's needs change. You know, we have mm-hmm. this horrible expression, buyers are liars. Mm-hmm. It's not that buyers are liars. It's that they evolve through the process so mm-hmm. that what they thought at the beginning, and it's the same thing with the do-it-yourselfer, whether they're a seller or a buyer. They mm-hmm. go into it, you know, really headstrong, and I'm going to do all this myself and save oodles of money and da-da-da. But as they go through the process, they're saying, you know, I'm picking up pennies and dropping dollars here because there's so much I don't know that's biting me in the bottom.
And I think from a practical perspective, if I were a for sale by owner, and I, Jennifer Allen, real estate agent, I am perfectly capable of doing most of the things that need to be done, but I think probably every for sale by owner, there are things they would like to hire out if they could. And if you have that conviction in your heart that there are services you can provide this person that they would be happy to pay for. They're not hiring you or paying you out of pity, or because they were pushed into it, or because you pressured them into it, they truly need these services.
And it also gives you
and are happy to pay them. Not
yeah, exactly, because it gives you a segue that at the beginning, before they really know you or trust you, mm-hmm. they may ask you to do something very simple and pay you for it mm-hmm. while they're sizing you up. But as you do these tasks for them and get paid for them, they're starting to say, you know, I feel comfortable with you. In fact, I trust you. You're my partner. You know, why don't you take on this? Or I didn't realize that this isn't working so well doing it by myself. Is this something you can take over?
Molly, would you want to, we have a lot of questions here on
yeah,
the,
and I wanted,
the Q&A
I was about
screen.
To,
you, would you like
I
me to,
want to interrupt
ask you,
you
some of them?
I do. The first one was from Dagmar Rogers, and she, this is kind of a question that is a little off topic, but I want to get to it because I'll forget about it. How do we go about in states like Texas where you have a minimum service that you cannot waive? Dagmar, this really comes down to the difference between the consulting model that we teach at ACRE and a lot of these, what I call FSBO companies, are agents that do MLS entry only. And I think a lot of these minimum service states, I know Texas is one of them, I know Illinois is another one. The reason, and I've talked with a lot of practitioners in the state, and it seems as though the state legislators put these laws into effect not to limit compensation, but to make sure, and this was a consumer protection device, that they weren't getting, the consumer wasn't getting basically functionary type services with no fiduciary counsel. And so they have these, what they call minimum service requirements. We've never found through the ACRE program to be any conflict. In fact, it more underlines the need for a true consultant, because we believe at our very core that fiduciary is key. So that if you're going to offer somebody access to the MLS, you're going to couple it with the minimum service requirements, which is at least pricing counsel, negotiation of any offers, and troubleshooting of the transaction. So, you know, the consulting model works really well in minimum service requirements. And I hope that I've kind of answered your question.
That's a great answer, yeah.
But I want to kind of get through some of these other things, which kind of pulls in what Jennifer was talking about. Ron McIntyre says, I have found that helping FSBOs without any strings attached has been the best possible way of gaining new business. And, you know, that kind of, Ron, that kind of ties into consulting, because there isn't, you know, so much of the pushback, I think, from FSBOs, and you can address this, Jennifer, from FSBOs about realtors, is that they realize it's an all or nothing proposition, that they either, you're trained, as I joked about in my presentation, about you bring them stuff every week until they realize how stupid they are and hire you. Mm-hmm. The no strings attached is really good, and because you're saying, how, you know, what are you planning on doing, and you're going to be doing that, and you will uncover lots of times. So they say, yeah, but then I guess I'm going to have to hire an attorney when da 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 da, and you can then bring out and say, you know, I can help you, and in fact, I can help you better than an attorney can, because I'm a professional real estate agent, and I can. You know, attorneys are great, but they don't negotiate well on real estate contracts because they don't know the market, and that's not what they do. So, you know, I agree with you, Ron. Consulting provides a opportunity to have no strings attached. Dave,
let me,
Ron,
can I comment on Betty's?
Oh, please do.
Okay. And I'm not sure, can everybody see these questions on the screen? I mean, do you all see the questions that are posted, or do we just see them? I'm not sure. But anyway, Betty says, you know, she's very uncomfortable talking to FSBOs because she feels they don't want to be bothered with real estate agents calling them on the phone trying to get their business to make a commission. Betty, bingo, they don't. I mean, that you didn't make up that feeling. They do not want to be bothered by a real estate agent calling them so they can get a commission. And that's what 99% of the real estate agents are doing. And that's their mindset. That's the agent's mindset. But if you adjust your own mindset, and Betty, I know you, and I know you have the right mindset already. There's no adjusting to be done there. Is you approach them because you want to help and you can help. And yes, there is a fee for your service, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, to go after somebody simply to sell them something, if you don't feel that you bring value to the table, of course you're going to dread doing that. So you know, if you shift the mindset of your own to where I can help this person, they need me, not just because I'm going to convince them how stupid they are, because they aren't stupid, but I can help them. And with the ACRE tools, you can more closely address their concerns of, I don't want to pay a full commission. You know,
and
I
by
don't...
the way, and I just want to interject, Betty, mm-hmm. and with what you're saying, Jennifer, is that, you know, and I've said this many, many times, I do not believe after years and years and years that people who are trying to do things on their own are cheap wads who don't want to pay mm-hmm. money. Actually, most consumers are very happy to pay very well for services that they need. They just want mm-hmm. to understand what they're paying for. And they want it to meet what they need, not a package that doesn't or goes overboard or goes underboard. They mm-hmm. want something that is geared toward what they're, you know, and personalized for what they need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. I'm just laughing. I'm looking at Donna Janofsky's comment. Donna wrote, I heard that the owner of the ForSaleByOwners.com mm-hmm. site used the nation to sell a New York property, which was sold for a higher price than the owner listed the property for.
Yeah.
Do you want to take any of these comments or questions?
I'll take anything, any of them you want, but go ahead.
Ron walked away, so go ahead. Ron McIntyre said again, FSBOs contact me all the time and ask me to list their house. The perception of what list means is different from mine until we actually meet. Bingo, Ron.
Mm.
You know, because of our all or nothing stance that we're hopefully trying to change with the consulting model, that, you know, it has been so that you either list your house or you do it totally on your own. And until you actually have a chance to meet and you see that, you know what, it isn't an all or nothing. It's what can I do to help you? Your success is my success. This is not a standoff where you don't want to pay a commission and I want the commission. This is more of what services do you need and how can I help you to achieve them,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy Wozni wrote, FSBOs are more than willing to pay a selling brokerage fee. They just don't want to deal with the real estate community. They mm-hmm. want to be in charge of the sale of their home. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean, Cindy, and I'm sure you know that, as I've back and forth with you a lot, is that they know that they need help, particularly in the fiduciary areas. Such as negotiating and troubleshooting their transaction, having what I call the shepherd, somebody who can, you know, shepherd them through the process and make sure that they're not forgetting some important things that have to be done. You know, they don't want to deal with the real estate community out there, you know, who are representing buyers. And that's something that as a consultant, you know, you have the tools to be able to be their intermediary without them having to pay for the whole package of services. You can, you know, I'm hoping that she posts very soon, but I have an exciting story to tell everybody in that my sister, I have two sisters, one of them lives locally to me up here in the Boston area, but one of them lives in North Carolina, and she is going to be selling her house and moving back to Boston. And her initial idea, because she's not due to move until next May, because that's when her two youngest, their twins, are going to be graduating high school. She's got a lot of calendar time on her hands, and her first thought was that she would try to use sites such as eBay and Craigslist to, you know, list her own house and see if she could bring her own buyer in, with the thought of then bringing in a real estate agent to take care of the negotiating and troubleshooting. But then she started getting nervous and saying, yeah, but how do I get my house prepared for sale? I don't know what I have to do, da-da-da-da-da. And so she came crying on my shoulder and said, do you have any help for me? And I said, actually, as a matter of fact, I have a wonderful ACRE that I could recommend. And she might even be on this call, Melinda Hendershot, who came in and they just listed Sherry's house. And they actually did put it on the MLS. But, you know, Melinda was able to charge a flat fee for all of the pre-sale, getting it ready, including photography, and she did a fabulous job with the videography and, you know, getting Sherry, her house, all prepared and ready to go. Now Melinda, if I'm understanding correctly, will be stepping back and while it's on the market, knowing that most buyers that want to see Sherry's home will probably have their own agent, so it can be shown without her input. If there is a buyer that shows up without an agent, Melinda can, for a fee, you know, show the house to them. And then when Sherry gets her first offer, that's when Melinda will step right back in and, again, negotiate and troubleshoot the transaction. So it's really exciting because it's my first time with
that's awesome.
Stacey Weingarten wrote, can we get a copy of this meeting for Molly's presentation? You can get a copy of the audio if the recording goes all right, Stacey. The actual video of my presentation, you have to be an ACRE to get that. So if you're considering registering for the ACRE program, I'd encourage you to do so. But the videos are one of the benefits you get as an ACRE because on our coaching exchange, we have a whole library of tools, including these videos of some of the skill series and some of the skills that you can learn. So,
I'd like to comment on David's earlier comment that, or early from the process, that he says, I'd like to have the FSBO business, but I don't like to be telemarketed to with an obvious script to make me feel like an idiot by saying no. And I think that's a brilliant observation, and it addresses what we were just talking about, is that, you know, real estate agents aren't opposed to paying a fee. They just don't want to deal with us. And I think, again, when you go to the cheesy techniques, have you ever sat through a sales presentation where you just felt that you were being condescended to, where they used tie-downs and pick-me-ups or whatever all of those strategies are to, as David said, make you feel stupid for saying no when you really want to say no. And that's an adversarial relationship in the making. So, you know, people want help. They need help, but they don't want to deal with that sort of nonsense. And again, goes back to maybe Betty's comment, is if you go in without the nonsense, without the attitude that I'm here to trick you into giving me your listing, you don't make them feel stupid. You don't make them feel obligated or otherwise obligated to you because you took 15 minutes out of your day to talk to them. Then it's good. It's common sense and it's good manners. You know, just if nothing else, when you're approaching people for business, just be polite and have some good manners that your mother taught you. And I think you'll go a lot further than most of your competition.
And it's what we talk about in ACRE a lot, is transparency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not coming up with a cheesy script to get at what you want. You're being very transparent. How can I help you? I've got some unique tools in my toolbox here as a consultant that allow me to be able to zero in on what you need and how I can help you. Along those lines, Jenny Darling said, how would you get their email address to send this to them? I think you're referring, Jenny, to the needs analysis. Again, and this kind of ties into this, how would you get their email address? You don't have to get their email address. You need to tell them about this cool thing that you have available to them. They're going to want to give you their email address because they want to get it. And the whole point is you're not trying to grab their contact information. You're more saying, you know, I have a really unique tool that can help me to help you in terms of zeroing in on where I can be of help to you. And it's called seller needs analysis, and it allows you to kind of go through all of the different things that some of them you may not know about, Mr. Seller, that, you know, you don't want to have these secret things that come up and bite you in the process. So, you know, I have this really cool tool, and I'd be happy to share it with you. You know, I can email it to you, and it's very, believe me, they'll start volunteering to give you their email address because they want it. So, you know, hopefully that will.
But again, that's a mindset shift, Molly, is that not tricking people out of giving you their contact information, inspiring them to want you to have it. And I talk about that with open houses, is that you don't have to manipulate people to let you get in contact with them. You simply can inspire them to want to hear from you again. There's a big difference.
Absolutely. Ron McIntyre writes again, you can do it yourself and get a professional, finally, a group ACRE who understands this, and yet there's less than 400 of us nationwide. Crazy, huh? Yeah, you know, it is, and I think that really goes, Ron, in, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, but how we are so afraid as an industry to change. You know, we're not, you know, ACRE is not a revolutionary concept. In fact, consulting is practiced in most of the business world other than real estate. And it's simply a matter of giving choices. It's not discounting. It's not a gimmick. It's simply saying, you know what, let me, I have a skill set. I have lots of tools as a professional. Let's see what you need and how I can match up what I offer and get your goals accomplished. And remember, we're so schooled in what do we say and what is the script that we forget it really comes down to what Jennifer just said of good manners. How can I help you? What is it your need? What are your goals? How can I help you meet those goals? How can I help you? Because we know that hiring a professional, even if it's by commission, will usually net them far more than they could ever get on their own if they were even successful. And, of course, with consulting, where you can specialize your services to what they need even more so. And the cool thing, you know, to us professionals is that we can get paid because we've had the time ahead of time to really structure our rates and fees. We know that whatever we give, we're going to be paid very well for. And, you know, that's so important. I want to just, like, throw this out. I've said this a lot to ACRES, but for the benefit of those on the call who haven't heard this, is that, you know, part of the mindset problem we have in looking at, you know, non-contingent ways of being paid is that a lot of us, if we're coming from the commission world, say, well, shoot, if I was going to get a listing, I'd get, you know, I could get $8,000. And if I do just the task that they need, I only get $800. Why would I, you know? And again, the $8,000 is assuming, number one, that you get the listing, number two, that it sells, and number three, more importantly, how many hours are you going to have to put in to get it? Because in the traditional scenario with the traditional contingent commission, you work and work and work and work until you get it sold. Then if it falls through, you start all over again and work and work and work and work till you sell it again, and it's an infinite number of hours. Whereas when you work non-contingently, you get paid for the services and time that you commit to. And, you know, if it falls apart, then that's going to be extra. We don't think in terms of our hourly worth, and it's something that I say to you guys all the time. If you never practice consulting, just the process of working through the course workbook and setting up your hourly fees, I guarantee you, you will never look at your hours and your time the same way again. That we need to think in terms of how much are we working for that commission check? How many hours are we putting into that commission check? And we are very comfortable then that if we are going to be doing a commission deal, that we are charging enough on that commission to not only cover our risk, but cover all the infinite number of hours that are involved. Jenny wrote, it's great to offer a list of fees for services, but don't you still have to sell to get the seller to offer 2.5% to the co-offer? How do you bring this up? Yeah, Jenny, that's something we cover in the ACRE course, that one of the things that's really important to do is to separate out what you're charging versus what the seller will need to offer to compensate anybody who's bringing your buyer. So, you know, that you absolutely, you know, when you practice consulting, whatever arrangement you're making, it's important to stress to them that this is for my side only, you know, the listing side only and listing services, because the rest of the world primarily is working by commission in order to, you know, encourage buyer agents to bring buyers to your home. I will recommend that you offer a competitive COBRA, but again, keep it, you know, really, really separate. Are you seeing anything here, Jennifer, that kind of lights you up?
Oh, I see lots of things, but I know it's kind of time to go. I wanted to comment on Betty's follow-up is, you know, sort of, well, how do you get your foot in the door? You know, how when you, if you call up a for sale by owner and say, hi, I'm Betty, what do you say after that? And my recommended approach, and I'm sure there's 100 of them out there, this wouldn't be the only one, but is to be very short and sweet and not pitchy. a one or two liner said in the most warm and friendly voice you can come up with of, you know, here's an example I give is, you know, I was dropping my daughter off at school yesterday and I drove by your house and I'm a real estate agent with so and so. I'm a real estate agent. You know, I'd love to come by and see it sometime. Would you be okay with that? Period. You know, you don't need to go into a pitch. You don't need to go into, you know, any sort of dialogue or script. Just very nice and polite. I'm a real estate agent, and I saw your for sale by owner sign, and I'd love to come look at your house. Would you be okay with that? And if they snarl and growl and, you know, hang up the phone on you, then okay, you probably don't want to come see their house anyway. But if you're polite and warm and friendly, I think they will respond in kind, and then you can go over and see it. And then at that point, face-to-face, you can start to create the rapport and and have a conversation. I don't, you know, when you call somebody out of the blue,
right?
You know, it's not always a good time for them. They're not expecting it. They're a little put off, perhaps, that, oh, my gosh, it's an agent calling me, so just make it short, sweet. And then you can be, you know, even more charming when you get face-to-face with them.
Yeah, and again, and I'm going to stress this again, remember that the whole key to becoming an acre and having the tools in the toolbox, so to speak, is that more and more as time goes on and as the word starts getting out, and especially if you work your sphere, as Jennifer and I always encourage, you will have more and more for sale by owners and potential for sale by owners calling you because they've heard that, wow, you can offer them some choices.
Good
and
point.
And what this is what's really funny is that 9 out of 10 of them, in my experience, started off with, well, I'm going to be doing this myself, and I'm really going to need very little from you, but I want to make sure you could actually do this for me, that as the process went on, they realized more and more how much they needed me, and they hired me for more and more. And some of them even ended up doing a traditional commission because they were more comfortable with that. But it didn't matter. The bottom line is, you know, it doesn't matter what they ultimately choose as long as it pays you very well for the expertise you're bringing to the table and that it's something. But, again, they're going to be calling you more and more. It's going to be much less. And this is the very cool thing about being a trained consultant is that you will find that over time more and more of them are calling you, not the other way around. So I just wanted to
good point.
One last question I want to get to before we wrap this up. Billy Watkins wrote, more FSBOs are using attorneys for the fiduciary services. What are your thoughts on partnering with them in this process? You know, Billy, I have to tell you, in practicing consulting, I always made it a point to more, it's almost as important as letting the consumer know what you offer, is to let the working attorneys in your area know. Because a lot of them, they don't want to be involved with this other stuff. They get pulled into it because of the all or nothing structure that we've had in real estate. So that you can now tell attorneys as a trained consultant, I'm an acre, I can provide, you know, negotiation and troubleshooting so that if they want to try to procure their own buyer, they can do so and then bring me in for the very important fiduciary services that are so needed. And by doing this, and you'll find that, at least my experience was, is that a lot of attorneys are jumping all over themselves because they have enough to do without having to step in and negotiate a real estate contract. They really don't want to because it gets into, you know, is knowing the market and everything else, and it's not what they do, and they'd rather not. But by partnering with you, you will find that they get you business and you get them business because, obviously, for sale by owners are probably going to need an attorney for other services. So it's a win-win for all of you.
But an attorney certainly doesn't want to be helping somebody price their home or help, you know, helping them stage it or, you know, identify what they need to do to get it ready and go to the market.
You know, and again, you know, and one of the huge advantages that acres have over their non-acre colleagues is that they can get the word out to attorneys, to the mortgage lenders, to home inspectors, you know. And believe me, these are people that work with the consumer all of the time, and they're always running into people, you know, even if they're doing a home inspection for a buyer, and they, you know, and the buyer is saying, you know, my sister's thinking of selling her home, she's going to try to do it herself, and they're in a great position to say, you know, Betty does, you know, consulting, and she provides those services that they need, and you will find your phone starts ringing off the hook. If you use the contacts, and this goes back to what I talked about in the presentation, and Jennifer always talks about, which is work your sphere, and it's not just the consumers that you've worked with, it's your industry partners. Real, real important. So I know we didn't get to everything, and I'm so sorry. We always run out of time, but I want to keep these to an hour. So first of all, I want to thank all of you who've been on the call. I hope that you've gotten, if you're not an ACRE, you've gotten a glimpse, and you'll go ahead and think about signing up and enrolling in the course, because we'd love to have you join us. We are a revolution that is evoluting. And if you are an ACRE, be on the lookout on the exchange later today. I will be putting the video up of my presentation that you can watch again. And secondly, thank you so much to Jennifer. I'm always inspired by your outlook and what you add, and it just kind of makes the world go round, and do appreciate that. So I want to thank everybody for the call, and Jennifer, if you can stop the recording since I can't do it on my Mac.